Welcome back to The Download. I'm Justin Kaufman here on WGN. Well, it's been over a year since the restaurant Parachute opened in Avondale, and what a year it has been. Parachute was named a finalist for the Best New Restaurant by the James Beard Awards and was named 2014's Restaurant of the Year by Eater. Veteran chef and top chef contestant Beverly Kim opened the restaurant with her husband Johnny Clark, and they haven't looked back. Beverly Kim is here in studio with us right now on The Download. Beverly, thanks for coming down.
Thanks for having me. This is such an honor.
So it's amazing to me because, you know, I read a great article by Kevin Pang in the Tribune about you guys sort of starting it and how hard it was to actually start. And, you know, that was a year ago. And today, I mean, so many accolades, and it seems like the restaurant's taken off.
Yeah, I mean, I think our dream was just simply to open a restaurant and to work together and have a family and do what we love to do. So all the awards that you named, it's really just unbelievable sometimes. Like, we're still shell-shocked in a lot of ways, but it really, you know, is something that I'm grateful for every day.
It's amazing, too, because, you know, you've been in restaurants. You haven't owned your own restaurant, but you've been in restaurants and, you know, you made sort of national fame with Top Chef. But this was sort of your first foray into opening a place. You had teamed together with your husband on another project, but this was it. Talk about the challenges of putting together your own restaurant, because that's something I don't know if everybody in the world can understand. It's not sort of like you're on Top Chef, so now I've got a restaurant. There's a lot that goes into it. It's not an easy foray.
No, margins are really thin. Raising money to supply the needs to open a restaurant, finding the right space in Chicago. It took us about 2 years. I mean, we kept looking and looking and looking to the point where...
What was the holdup? Like, why didn't you just sort of say,
it's always
Wicker
like,
Park, got it.
Yeah. You know, they were just either too expensive rent-wise or something... There was a deal. You had to buy all this nasty equipment for like hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, you know, that was part of the deal. Or it just always something didn't match up right. And it was too risky for us. And then we were talking to potential investors and just kind of led us on. And I felt it wasn't like wasted time, but we just realized it wasn't going to happen. And so once we realized it wasn't going to happen with these, I guess it's a lot of talking, you know, a lot of talkers. And we just had to dig deep and say, well, either we give up or we start with what we have. And we just started from the bottom, you know, asked our family what they're able to contribute. We did a Kickstarter and, you know, just penny counted everything. I mean, we still live in a very, like, a one-bedroom apartment with an extra, like, closet turned into a bedroom kind of situation just to keep our means, you know, because between restaurant searching and all the meetings and working and being a mom, it's just, you know, you have to keep your means accessible. I wanted this one to really succeed and really, like, give every advantage to being able to stay open. So, which meant living in a very, like I said, a one-bedroom apartment. You know, we laugh to this day, but we'd even, like, any coffee, we lived off of coffee, pretty much. And, you know, any extra coffee, we'd save it, reheat it. You know, like, I mean, that's how, like, everything counted, you know?
It's really interesting because when you think of sort of celebrity chef and the idea of sort of executive chefs and we see everywhere now, like, it's sort of exploded on the scene. You're as popular a celebrity as a sports athlete. That with that, we would assume comes huge paychecks to be able to do whatever you want to do because either you were on TV or you won an award. But it's not the case, especially when you want to do something your way at the restaurant level.
Yeah, and I think the few people we did talk to investor-wise, it was like... Either the idea was too cheesy or, like, they wanted to do Korean ramen shop. I don't know, like, something that
so
was not
So they would come
really...
to you with an idea they had.
Sometimes
they said, hey,
it would be like that, yeah. Like, you would be great for that. And I'm like, no, I don't want to sell my soul.
Ramen's hot right now.
Korean, ramen's hot,
right.
Korean ramen, let's do it.
Tiki bars are hot.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
or, like, you know, they're like, oh, have you ever thought about the West Loop? You know, have you ever thought about Wicker Park? And then we'd come back like, hey, you know, there's this really cool restaurant we saw in Avondale, or we'd say Albany Park, or, like, some other kind of outskirts Bridgeport or something, and they'd be like, no, I don't think so. I don't think it's going to work. And so we realized the places we did want to go open a restaurant, it wasn't proven for them enough.
Investors didn't want to get involved in that.
No. At that point, like, we just knew that we had to do it on our own.
Which is surprising because there's been such successful stories, especially in food, of restaurants on the outskirts. I think of Arun's place as a place on Irving Park that is not on the beaten path, is a place that has had a lot of success. But it does seem like there would be investors for opening up restaurants that aren't on Hubbard Street.
Unfortunately, maybe they're not really into food, I guess. They don't really know. They just know what everyone else sees. They're just more into investment. They know numbers, but they don't really know food. Like, what's, you know, hot. And all these places that you mentioned, oftentimes they're family-run businesses. So, like, Arun's is a family business, so... Mm. And it's a proven fact. You have great food. People will drive anywhere, you know, pretty much to a destination. But it's also, you know, for an investor, they need that, like, proven spot, sort of. And also, like, you know, we've never had a restaurant before. So that also made it harder.
Beverly, what got you into cooking? What was it that you said, you know, and I mean, there's the sort of, like, cooking to eat. But what was it at a point when you said, you know, professionally, this could be what I dedicate my life to?
My mom is a fantastic cook, and she's a housewife, I guess you could say. And I was the last of four daughters, and, you know, she cooked everything from scratch. And so I really, you know, pride ourselves that we had three different refrigerators, one for kimchi completely. I started that way by helping my mom, but really... I got my first step into the kitchen at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel when I was 16. My mentor, Chef Sarah Stegner, she won the James Beard Award back in the
day. Yeah, absolutely,
yeah. She took me under her wing and...
At 16?
At 16, yeah. Just, I was interning for a summer, like between junior year and senior year in high school. A girl from Downers Grove, I wrote her a letter, you know, and I said, I want to work here. I need to figure out what I want to do because... You know, I love to cook, and my sister said, hey, you should look into being a chef. And so I basically bought a James Beard book when I was in high school, and I started writing to all these chefs in the book from Chicago. And I interviewed them, and what the underlining thing that really got me is they said that it's not work, it's fulfillment. And if you see it as that, you're going to be happy for the rest of your life. And I was like, wow, fulfillment. That's just such a deep word, you know? Like, I never really thought about work as that, you know? So that got me in the door, and I never looked back. When I was staging at the Ritz-Carlton, I just fell in love with the colors, the textures that I was constantly learning. I was on my feet. It just seemed like something new was always available every day for me to learn. And, you know, it was this adrenaline-based kind of performance. It was the first time I learned what thyme was and all these cheeses. And growing up from a Korean-American household, this was just new to me. So really fell in love with the fine dining aspect. And then I went to Kenton College, and from there I just worked in Chicago.
We're talking with Beverly Kim. She owns and operates Parachute with her husband, Johnny Clark. When we come back, you know, it's really interesting to me for you to say fulfillment over work, because this is a job.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone who's worked in the restaurant industry knows, it is a 24-hour responsibility. And, you know, as you mentioned earlier about just sort of, you know, watching pennies, I would assume you take a big role in working in this restaurant nonstop. And I thank you very much for taking some time out, because you're probably not, you're probably doing, you're delinquent on something right now at the restaurant. So we appreciate it. Beverly Kim, when we come back, we'll talk more with her about her career here on The Download on WGN. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, speaking with Chef Beverly Kim. She owns and operates the restaurant Parachute in Avondale. You may remember Beverly from Top Chef fame. it's been a couple of years, and she was the restaurant Parachute was a finalist, best new restaurant, the James Beards, and also restaurant of the year 2014 from Eater. That's great. You know, right before the break, we talked about work. You got great advice that it's not work, it's fulfillment. This is a job. Running a restaurant is a difficult proposition, isn't it?
Sure. I mean, I've got a lot more white hairs now. It's like, you know, if you're a parent and you know what it's like, once you're a parent, you're completely committed to, you know, nurturing this child and whatever it takes. And, you know, there's, you know, days that are just glorious and you're just, oh, I love you, you're so cute. And then there's days where just like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm just, you know, where things happen, you know, and your walking cooler breaks down. There's, you know, someone doesn't show, you know, you always have some kind of event to stay on top of. And, you know, when you go to bed at night, it's really hard to stop that cycle of like, all the things
just
you have to do.
Oh, it just keeps going, doesn't it?
Just keeps going. You know, your to-do list doesn't ever get shorter, you know?
You fall asleep and your dreams are the beginning of that to-do list, and then it turns into, like, pink bunnies and elephants, and you're like, I have to fry the pink bunny and the elephant. You're like, what am I doing?
Absolutely, yeah. It's
and it's not an eight-hour job. I mean, for you to, I mean, for the restaurant hours, a lot of people don't understand that the restaurant hours are just a sliver of what you do per day because, you know, preparing the food, especially the food that you're creating, not to mention the cleanup after the fact, it's not an eight-hour day.
So the first person who is me or my prep sous chef comes in at 6 or 7 in the morning, and the last person is my husband who walks out at 2:30 or 3:30 at night, in the morning, I guess. So that's the life of just dinner. When we only open for dinner.
Can you imagine if we had lunch?
Yeah.
Imagine if you guys were at breakfast. Let's do breakfast too.
Oh, I don't know. I can't even think of it. But yeah, no, it's a lot of work. But it's a labor of love. Again, you know, I reiterate because I wouldn't do it if it, otherwise.
And you've been around it your whole career. I mean, you work in some of the major restaurants in Chicago. You've probably experienced it, you know, and you prepared for what it takes to run a restaurant just from your work at other places, right?
Yeah, I've been working since I was 16 in kitchens all around Chicago, and nothing else could really satisfy my, you know, wake me when I wake up in the morning. I get really excited about learning something new, creating something, or just being in that atmosphere. It's a people based business, you know, you have cooks, you know, you're surrounded by community, it's community. There's days though I wake up and I'm just like, my body is in shock, just like, you know, like just the shock of the pain up, you know, your soles of your feet just by standing all day. And the physical aspect of it, people don't realize how hard, you know, you have to have stamina. So like, I think the years of building up stamina and delayed satisfaction, because you don't get paid really well in the beginning, you know, there's many years you invest in not getting paid very well. It's mentally, not just physically, but mentally very hard. You sacrifice your holidays, your time with your family, your social life. And I see my own cooks go through it right now. You know, this like period of
like their first sort of
their first revelation, yeah. Like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen my family forever. You know, I haven't seen my friends forever. And, you know, I'm like, why are you so down? It's because I haven't seen my family. It's like, I know how it feels, but it's going to get better. You know, just it takes, you know, it's an investment of time for sure.
Now, one of the ways that you sort of alleviated that sort of, you know, sadness or pain was to open a restaurant with your husband, which I think would be a good thing and a bad thing, thinking about my wife, if we owned a business together. But this is a business, like you said, where, you know, you may be in the door at 6 o'clock in the morning and he may be the one shutting the door at 3 o'clock at night. Yeah. Talk a little bit about the relationship of owning a restaurant with your spouse.
Well, first of all, I would only recommend this if you are, you know, you have this a vision together. It's equal partnership, because then otherwise there will be this feeling of unfairness or whatever. And so in a marriage, it's about partnership and equal respect. And I think Johnny and I, since we met each other, I guess it's, I don't know if it's destiny, but we really had that same vision together for a long time. Is it perfect? Is it like a fairy tale story every day? You know, it's an ongoing process, but anything's work, you know, marriage, relationships, and the more you are invested in that person, the more you're like, oh my gosh, I'm more in love with you now, you know, because we've gotten through this hump. And, you know, it takes a lot of saying, I'm sorry, honey, you know, it takes a lot of like swallowing some things, like for the bigger picture.
But you, I mean, yeah. you have a leg up in the fact that Johnny's also a chef.
He is a chef,
and,
yeah.
And it gives you the, you guys both have an understanding of the business. The business is very stressful. There's a lot of pressure. You're working long hours. There's physical pain, as you sort of alluded to. So you have someone to share in that sentiment. It's not like you're, you know, you're married to an accountant in the stand, right?
I would say, like, I don't think anyone would understand me. Like, he understands that pain, and I understand his pain when he says, oh, my back, you know, and we just, like, being able to sort of say, okay, we open this restaurant, so we're closed Sundays and Mondays. We can say that, you know, like, we have Sundays are our family day, and I think that's very, very important to us. When I met him, that's why I fell in love with him, is simply I knew we could understand each other. Without having to say much, you're committed, and like every day is kind of like a new day with us too.
We're talking with Beverly Kim, chef, owner, operator of Parachute up in Avondale. It's up for finalists of James Beard's, which it lost, and I was upset. I believe I even said it on air that night, where I was just like, "This is outrageous! This is outrageous! This cannot be happening. Not in our city. Not this way." But let's talk about Chicago, because you've decided to set up shop here, and you've mentioned a couple times just to sort of like, you know, how restaurant is family and family-run businesses in Chicago. There are a lot of restaurants in Chicago that are the family-run varietal, right? That's really the major percentage. What do you get? Sort of the investor kind of restaurants are a very small, minuscule part of what makes up the restaurant industry here in Chicago. But talk about what made you set up shop here?
I feel comfortable here. It's my family. It's my home base. I grew up in Downers Grove. I have huge network here, support, mentors, you know, especially since I'm a mom. My parents live very close by. And also having a market where, you know, you can have a variety of different styles of cuisine, like Korean-American cuisine. I feel like we had an opportunity here in Chicago for, and there's enough people who want, you know, who understand that or are open to it. Just people love food here, are open to new experiences. Great neighborhoods here in Chicago to find a space and make a home and build on your community. And that's why we chose here.
You know, we mentioned earlier about investors sort of looking towards the West Loop or Wicker Park, and there's so many different restaurants. This town is exploding in terms of really high-end culinary restaurants. I mean, it's amazing to think that the West Loop, if you blinked your eye even 5 years ago, I used to say it was 10, 15 years ago. Now it's 5 years ago. It's changed in the way that so many different places are coming in. Is there a sense of pride that you're not down there? Is there a sense of pride that, you know, you're winning these awards and the accolades and people are traveling to your restaurant Parachute up in Avondale, and that you stayed away from that kind of thing? Or do you see yourself in the future being like, once we have this restaurant on lock, we're going down, we're going to take over Chicago?
Oh, I don't know if it's a sense of pride, but because I don't want to be better than,
you know
what I mean? But, like, I just do feel like a sense of accomplishment, like, look, you know, we did it. You know, we opened on a very small budget, and people are obviously not going because, you know, you're sitting in a $500 chair or anything like that. Or, like, you know, if you come to the restaurant, it's very minimalistic, and a lot of it, if you look very closely, is kind of falling apart as we speak.
That's because, like, you're here doing the interview. You've got to get back and tape it up.
The floors need to be redone bad. And, you know, but I'm proud that, you know, we stuck to our guns. And I've always loved or appreciated independent anything, independent filmmakers or people who had a dream and they didn't have, like, the biggest budget, but they had will, just, like, pure will. And I feel like that was what we had, was pure will. And I feel very proud of that. But it was the best choice for us at the time to open in Avondale, and I'm so, like, so thankful we did that. Avondale's an awesome community, awesome neighborhood. Every community in Chicago is special, you know, and has a different purpose. So I think it's just showing that there's room to grow. There's room to grow in Chicago.
Beverly Kim, chef, owner, operator of Parachute, of Top Chef fame. Is that over? Is the Top Chef fame over? Do you feel like people still stop you on the street?
They're like, hey, I know you from somewhere. Were you my doctor, nurse somewhere? It's really funny. They give me this double take or whatever. It's not. I'm really glad that now people really more identify me with the work that I do at Parachute, and me and my husband. And but I also, you know, that was, I feel like it was very, it's harder than it looked like on TV. I don't know if you, it's harder than it looks. It really does. Is. It's hard. It's challenging.
And it looks super challenging. Are you kidding me? I think that's why everyone's like stopping on the street.
Oh, right?
No one's like, that's so easy. Oh, I can do that.
I guess you could say it was hard, and so in that way, I'm proud of that. But I feel very like in the moment, like this is what I'm doing now. You know, Top Chef, that was like 3 years ago, so you know. Time to move on. Yeah.
Well, Beverly, thanks so much for coming down and talking to us about your career, about Parachute, and thank you for making great food and being a part of Chicago. And we appreciate you making some time, because you're right. The floors need to be fixed and the chair needs to be duct taped.
Thank you.
There's a lot of jobs that you're not doing right now because you're doing this interview. So we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.